Remember, last week we talked about the verse that directly preceded our reading from this Sunday evening. We looked at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men." You remember we talked about a message entitled "Good for Nothing Christianity." What does it mean to be good for nothing, and how when salt, we as Christians of salt lose our ability to influence the decaying world around us and instead are influenced by that world, we in a real sense are good for nothing. We are good for nothing Christians, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Now, Jesus put these two illustrations directly back to back. Now, why are we going to the next one in this series? Why did I feel like this was the right thing for us to talk about the very next phrase, "Ye are the light of the world"? Don't those two seem like the exact same thing? Isn't this going to be the exact same message about our job to be salt and light in this world? Well, a couple things. First of all, they're not the same. They're not the same exact thing in their picture. Because if you think about salt, what does salt do? As we talked about last week, today you have a piece of meat that you don't want to become decayed. And back in that day, they would take salt and they would rub that salt into that meat, and that salt would almost become imperceptible. You wouldn't be able to see it. And so when Jesus tells us to be the salt of the earth, in a sense, he's talking about our character as men and women of God, and those that even in imperceptible ways almost to the world are holding back corruption and decay. There is a quiet power that Christians have to hold back this decay by their character, by their saltiness, by the grace that is in them. But you see, light is something that is very different in that sense from salt. Salt is not a pushing itself out, pushing itself forward. It is preventing decay. But what about light? Light is completely incompatible with darkness. And where there is darkness and where light shines, there is no more darkness. And it's as if light is communicating. Light is going forth and shining. And I think the picture that Jesus is using here is to say that not only should we be salt in our character, in the grace of God that is acting from the inside and out to those that are around us, but we are to be light. We are to be shining. We are to be communicating what God has given to us. And the second thing is that if we are going to be effective stewards of the message that God has given us here, if we are going to be effective stewards of the ministry that he has given us to this city of Minneapolis, it's going to start by being salt, and it's going to start by being light. Both of those two things together. Now, as we come to this passage this evening, I want to point out something that jumped out at me from this passage that Matthias read for us this evening. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Last week we talked in the negative, what is good for nothing Christianity. This week we're going to talk in the positive. What is candlestick Christianity? What is candlestick Christianity, and how is it different than under a bushel Christianity? And may God give us light this evening as we look at this passage on our light in this dark world. Before we get into this message tonight, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is, as the psalmist tells us, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, may you shed that light onto our path even tonight. I pray that every word of mine would be directed by your Spirit. I pray that each of our hearts would be attuned to your voice this evening, and that your word would go down as living seed and transform us by bringing forth much fruit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start, first of all, by talking about a provision. A provision from this passage on candlestick Christianity. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And that starts, first of all, this provision starts with a beginning. The beginning of this. You see, there's no inherent light in us. There's no inherent light in me. There's no inherent light in you. We are only can be reflectors of light. We only can be lit. We, in essence, are a wick that is either lit with fire or it's not. We are either burning or we are not burning. And what happens in this provision of light is that we, being the light of the world, were at one point lit by the light of the world. Jesus says in John, I am the light of the world. If any man comes to me, he's not going to walk in darkness. He's going to have the light of life. Now, isn't it interesting there? He says, I am the light of the world. And if you come to me, you won't walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. And so in this sense, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and we come to him by faith, and we are united with him by baptism into his death, that we are raised with him into newness of life. Now, in this unity with Christ, his light lights us. And so then Jesus can very accurately state that we are the light of the world, even though we have no inherent light in us. Now, there's a wonderful thing that I want to bring out here that Scripture tells us about the light that is in us. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Look what Paul says to the Corinthians here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When did he do that? At creation, because that's what God does. He separates light from darkness. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And he separates, as he himself separates light from darkness, he separates in his dealings with man. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So let's stop right there for a minute. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. In other words, we are lit, we are provided, we are set ablaze with the light of knowing the glory of God for ourselves. Knowing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is what this light that is in us looks like, and it sets us ablaze. When man, who because we have sinned and fallen short of the what of God? Fallen short of the glory of God in our sinful state, we have light to look on the Savior. We look upon Jesus Christ. We are united with him. And God shines the light of his glory that we had fallen short of, shines the light of the knowledge of his glory into our hearts. And we are alit. We are ablaze with that light. It's connected to the glory of God. Secondly, let's see not just the beginning, but let's see the burning, the continuing burning. See, God didn't just provide for us a one-time spark, a one-time light, and then we're just waiting until we fizzle out and our candle is no longer burning. No, Jesus says, you are present tense, the light of the world. And as I'm speaking to you here, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been born again, you present tense are the light of the world. And as we talked about this morning, in God's intervening grace, when we least deserve it, when we even are acting in ways that are not glorifying to him and rebelling against him, God breaks through in his sovereign and eternal grace and love to us. And draws us to himself. We can say that in that same way, that God is the one who continues to provide for that burning in our hearts, that light to still continue. Now, can that light become dim? Can that light become faded as a result of our sin? Yes, we're going to see some of that later. But we need to understand that the Holy Spirit that is in us, that has sealed us until the day of redemption, is that provision of that oil that is able to keep our lights, keeping our lamps trimmed and burning. So first of all, the beginning, God's provision, is for us to see that, experience that light for the first time. It is His provision, secondly, that keeps that light burning in us. And third, let's understand, a brightening. The provision is for brightening. You are the light of the world. Now, of course, that presupposes that the world is in darkness. And we see that. We understand that to be the case when we look around and see those, the culture of our day that so rejects the principles of God as they're given to us in the Word of God. And we understand that the world is in darkness, and so God has provided us to be a light to the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and that when you come to me, you are the light of the world. It's a necessity. Now, doesn't that give us a great deal of honor? Doesn't that give us a great deal of worth and value that an almighty God has chosen us to be His lights to a dark world? I remember, as I mentioned last week, can you imagine the leaders of that day looking at Jesus, this carpenter from Galilee, and his ragtag bunch of disciples, and Jesus stands up to them and says, hey, I'm the salt of the earth. We're the only thing holding back the decay in this world. Who are you? They might have said. It's the same thing with the light of the world. Ragtag bands of Christians around this world, the world might scorn and mock, but Jesus says, you are the light of the world. It's God's provision to us, and it is God's purpose for us. It's His desire for us that we would act in keeping with being the light of the world. So first of all, let's understand this provision. This provision is that God has shined into our hearts with the glory of God. And it's the glory of God, that light in the glory of God is lighting us. The Holy Spirit's work is keeping that light burning, and we are the provision to a dark world. Secondly, let's understand a purpose. The purpose behind candlestick Christianity. We see here in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, what's the purpose of our being the light of the world? Why are we the light of the world? Why has God chosen to pour out this provision on us that we don't deserve? That's what grace means. We don't deserve it. But God has poured out this light of the knowledge of the glory of God into our hearts. So why? That men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Isn't it interesting that God shines the light of His glory into our hearts so that others may see His glory and glorify Him through us? God is giving us light that others may see Him through our light. That's the purpose that Jesus puts forward here. And I'm going to suggest there are three purposes that are come from this type of candlestick Christianity. The first purpose is to reveal. It is to glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is to say, as others see us as light in the world, they're not viewing it as, oh, that's Peter's light. Oh, that's these Christians' light. No, they're looking at our light and say, that's not coming from them. They're saying, oh, that's coming from their Father which is in heaven. Now, isn't it interesting that this is the first time in the New Testament when God is presented as a father? It's the first time God is presented as a father in the New Testament. I think there's something that's significant about this, is because it's as if Jesus is saying, may they see a family resemblance. May they see the sons of God, Remember, Scripture says that we are the sons of God, that we are shining in the midst of a dark world, and the sons of God reflect the glory of the Father, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Secondly, this purpose is not just to reveal, but secondly, it is to radiate. What I mean by this is, the purpose is that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, if other people, if our life as being the light of the world is going to glorify God and reveal to a dark world our Father which is in heaven, what does that require for us? It's that we be seen, that they may see. You know, if we are not being seen as Christians, we're not fulfilling the purpose. If we're not being seen by what we do, if we're not being seen as being different from those that are around us, we are unable to give glory to our Father which is in heaven. We're unable to point people to our Father and say, that's not my light, folks. That's His light. You see, I'm not reflecting my own glory to you. His glory has shined in my hearts, and therefore, that glory is radiating back to Him, and it's revealing the Father and my Father, which is in heaven. We got to be seen. Now, third, what do we need to be seen doing? If our purpose, God's purpose, is to reveal Himself by others seeing us, what do they need to see? That they may see your good works. Isn't that interesting? The third purpose is to reflect. To reflect. As the epistles of Paul tell us. What does he say? Make sure that you're continuing in good works. Make sure that you're being seen in good works. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at what he says here in this passage that many of you have no doubt memorized in terms of evangelism. But 2 and verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We set it out very clearly. Salvation is by grace alone, by faith alone. That is what does it. It's not our own works. But verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, the purpose of your being saved, the purpose of God saving you by His grace, and indeed what He has ordained for you from the foundation of the world, you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so let's understand how this works here. The provision is that God shines His glory into your hearts, the glory, the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that us, by viewing that light of the glory of, or the light of the knowledge or the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, then we reflect that glory, we reveal God to a darkened world by others here around us seeing our good works. Now, in a sense, are they our good works? Are they the things that we really hustle to do and strive to do and look around to be seen? No, that was what the Pharisees tried. They were the ones who stood up and said, hey, I'm going to give an alms now. Make sure you all see this good work here. Hey, I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand very ostentatiously at the most busy corner of the street. All right, I'm going to tithe now. Look at how much I'm giving. Look at what percentage I'm giving. No, that's not what it means. That's not what others seeing our good works and glorifying our Father which is in heaven. Because especially when we understand that our task is a reflective task. God is working. We saw that this morning. God was working in Jacob's heart. And God says that he which hath begun a good work in you, it's God's work in you, will perform it. He will keep on working. So if God is a working God, what should we be? Reflecting his work. So that in the good works that God is wanting us to do, it's not simply just going and helping the lady across the street, simply doing things that others will see as nice charitable things, but that we will actually be reflecting the work of a God who is constantly intervening and working in our lives and in the lives of others. It is to be seen that we are reflecting God's work and in that sense reflecting God's glory, because God is glorified by his own works. You remember when Jesus, right before he went to the cross in the book of John, what did he say? He said, "Father, glorify me. Glorify me." And where was Jesus Christ most glorified? He was most glorified in his work on the cross. Because it was the grace of God so wonderfully poured out on man. It was the love of God. It was the mercy of God. And yes, indeed, even the justice of God being poured out on his own Son. That was glory. That work. And so when we partake in God's works, when we partake in his good works toward humanity, we are shining back that glory to God that we have experienced in our own lives. Do we know that kind of experience? Do we know that kind of glory because we see it in the face of Jesus Christ? And is our life reflecting God's glory back to him by what we do? It's a good question because that's our purpose. We are to shine so that others may see our good works and glorify, exalt, lift up, hold up as worthy of honor our Father, which is in heaven. So first of all here, let's see the provision. God has shined forth light into us. We are the light of the world, not because we're special, but in a sense because God has shined his light into our hearts. We are reflecting the light of the world. Secondly, the purpose of that light is that we reflect that glory and reveal God through our good works. And third here, let's understand a priority. A priority. If it is true that God has shined forth his glory into us, that we can know that glory, and if it's true that it is our purpose in life, it's our purpose as Christians to be reflecting that glory back to him, what should our priority be? How should we intend to live? What should be our motivation? What should be our intent on a daily, moment-by-moment basis as Christians? It's to be candlestick Christians. Look at verse 15 here. Look at verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, a little vessel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, I love this. Let your light so shine before men. If you guys, your Bibles, take that word. I wish we could take that word so and underline it and bold it and italicize it and all caps it. Not just let your light shine before men, but let your light so shine before men. Let it be exactly tailored to that end, that you'll be a candlestick Christian who gives glory back to God, that you live your life in such a way that everyone who is around you is seeing light that is radiating from you and is looking up to God and saying, "I glorify you," because that's not them, it's you. That is what it looks like to be a candlestick Christian, to be a person who is not living a Christian life under a bushel, under a vessel, under a canopy, but that's holding it up for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now let's stop and think about this for a moment. What's the purpose of a candlestick? I'm going to suggest that there are three things that need to be our priority. This priority, first of all, involves an elevation. Because wouldn't we agree that that's really the only purpose of a candlestick? Why do you have a candlestick? It's to keep light from being down here and maybe blocked off by the table or blocked off by this or that or the other, and it's light diffused, to hold it up high and to say, no, it's on a candlestick so everyone can look and see it. You know what Jesus said? He says in this passage, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And his disciples would have known exactly what he was talking about. Because in Israel, if you go to Israel, you'll recognize that all these towns are on hillsides. They're on the top of hills. Even Jerusalem itself, the great city, is, what is it called? Great, the Mount Zion, the city on the north, the city of the great king, a city on a hill. And can't you imagine in that day these disciples would have known as they're walking through little podunk Galilee or Nazareth, they're going through maybe a valley, they're going through a barren place, and they look off in the distance, and there's a hill up there, and there's a city up there, and they just see these little lights. These little lights from people just having the candle out by their door. They say, oh, there's the city. That's what Jesus is saying. There's something about a candlestick that elevates. Now, what does that mean for us? What do our Christian lives look like when they're elevated Christian lives? Is that the type that we hold up like the Pharisees and say, everyone look at me. Everyone look at me. I'm pretty special. I'm doing good works. No, absolutely not. Those are our good works. And as Jesus said about the Pharisees, you have your reward. You're getting your pat on the head from everyone else, but no one's glorifying your Father, which is in heaven. So what does it mean for us? I'm going to suggest it means this. Let's just follow this logically. If God shines His glory into our hearts, and His purpose is that by shining His glory into our hearts, we will reveal Him to the world. In other words, we will glorify Him. What should our priority be? It should be to hold up in everything we do the glory of God. It should mean that in every action we do, our central purpose is to glorify God with the light that He has chosen to shine through us. Now that's what the Westminster Catechism says is man's chief end. Man's chief end, his number one aim in life, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now think about what this means for our day-to-day lives. Think about what this means when I'm at work and I'm sitting at work and I'm just going through the motions. My mind is kind of checked out. What would happen when someone comes across my path and I say, Lord, I'm the light of the world, but it's only Your light through me, so let me glorify You in this conversation. Let Him see you in this conversation. When we go here to church and in ministry, we're in Sunday school class. We're teaching a Sunday school class. We're saying, God, Your light is shined through me. I've seen it in the face of Jesus Christ. It shined into my heart. Now, when everything that I do here in this class, may I point people back to You. May they see You. That's what I want to do. I want to glorify You. I want to set You apart as something special. Do you know how that would change our entire attitude, our entire mindset? Everything that we live and do is done with that express purpose to glorify God. Paul says it a little bit different way in Corinthians. He says, you are bought with a price, so therefore glorify God with your body. In other words, it's not just that God has given us light to give. He's actually bought us. He's purchased us. And so He gets to say what we do and what we don't do. And so if He's bought us, glorify God. That's our number one goal. That's our number one aim. And as I look in my life, I see over and over not as much a resistance to trying to glorify God. It's not as if I go through life and say, God, I don't want to glorify You today. It's really more just a carelessness. It's going through life and not seeking to glorify God. Going through life and just doing what I do. Doing what Peter's planning on doing. Instead of in each step of my day, looking up and saying, God, may I glorify You in this. God, I'm going to court today. May I glorify you in this. God, I'm going out to lunch with someone today. May they see your light shining through me and may it point them back to you. God, I'm hanging out with my friends today at school. May I glorify you. May they see you in this. What a wonderful thing. That's what a candlestick Christian looks like. A candlestick Christian who is not at all afraid to have that light up on a candlestick because he's saying, God, this is not your light. It's not my light. It's your light. And so may it glorify you in everything that I do, in all my good works. What a wonderful thing that is. Secondly, let's understand the essential. The essential is that if we're going to be a candlestick Christian and have that light that is up on a candlestick that is elevated, that is being seen, secondly, that we don't hide it under a bushel. Now, it's interesting as I've thought about this in the past. Maybe you've thought about it too. What does it mean to hide your light under a bushel? Well, that just means that, someone has a chance to, I have a chance to give the gospel to someone and I kind of swallow my words a little bit. That's what it means, right? Just a kind of an evangelism, that kind of thing. But isn't it interesting what new light is shed on what it means to hide our lights under a bushel when we understand that to elevate our lights is to do everything in keeping with intending to lift up the glory of God? I don't think I'm saying this beyond what Scripture would support. When I say that things that we do, anything that we do, that is not to the glory of God, and maybe even is not to the with the intent of glorifying God, is hiding our light under a bushel. You see that? That means that when I go through life, I can, whenever I'm living my life as a Christian and I'm not taking actions intending to glorify God, God's light in me is being hidden. God's light, Jesus, the light of the world, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is in my heart is being hidden. Now, let's give an example of something that I've seen in my life. And I think it just shows you here the motivations that can so dim our hearts and our lives. Maybe some of you are like me when you're in certain groups. You kind of have a certain persona. You kind of have a certain image that people think of you. Oh, maybe he's the witty one, the funny one. Maybe he's the confident one. Maybe he's the cool one. Maybe he's this person or that person or the other person. Do you know how much those personas in our life are bushels holding us back, holding back the light of God? How many times in my life where a certain persona or characteristic about who I am conflicts with giving glory to God and I choose my persona? Oh, the confident, the cool person wouldn't say that. Oh, no, the cool person wouldn't stand up and say, no, I don't think that joke is funny. No, the cool person wouldn't be the kind of cool, laid back one, wouldn't be the one to stand up and give the gospel boldly to someone. And what is happening? God's enlightened me. He's given the glory of Christ into my heart. He's set me afire. And what am I doing? I'm saying, no thanks. Let me hide that so I can be seen. So the cool or confident or witty or funny person can be seen. Let me hide that. Now, I don't know what it is for you. In many cases, it's fear. Saying, Lord, if I try to glorify you here and lift you up and elevate you in these people's sight, it's going to be really embarrassing. It's not going to be in keeping with my reputation. So let me bushel that up. Let me hide that light. Let me hide your light. Is that amazing? The light of God is shining in our hearts, and it's us who have to take affirmative steps to cover it up. That's why Jesus says here, let your light so shine before men. Simply allow it to. It's burning in your hearts. I am the one who set it ablaze. I am the one who's keeping it burning by the Holy Spirit. I am the one who has made you so that you'll be irradiating my life to everyone else. And you are the ones who have to take affirmative steps to cover it up. Friend, in our lives, where are we allowing our own personal characteristics or our fleshly lusts or our sin in certain areas to cover up the light that God has put in us? Where we're going to hold up our own light, hold up our own personality, hold up our own character, hold up our own persona instead of boldly holding up the light that he has given us. That is what it means not to be a candlestick Christian, to be someone who is simply hiding our light under a bushel. And third, very briefly, there's an elevation, there's an essential, and third, there's an effect. In effect, I love this uncompromising statement that Jesus makes. He says, first of all, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Then he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Everyone that's around. Do you know when you hold up a light on a candlestick, up above anything that could block it, do you know that that light perfectly radiates in all directions? It's not like it's an arrow pointing that way, but not that way. It's not like there are a few rays going that way, but not going that way. The effect of a candlestick Christian, the effect of the person who is doing everything to the glory of God, whether they eat, whether they drink, whatsoever ye do, Paul says, do all to the glory of God. If that's us in all our motivations, in all our intents, do you know what we'll be doing? We'll be shining light to everyone, and we simply won't care. We'll be shining light at work the same way we're shining light at home. We'll be shining light at church the way we're shining light at school. We're going to be shining light around that friend just like we are around that friend. We're going to be shining light around the saved people and around the unsaved people. That's going to be us, because a candlestick Christian is one who is reflecting the glory of God, whose number one aim is to say, God, glorify me, glorify you, may others glorify you through my example, through seeing my good works. And it's going to be this wonderful, consistent, radiant light for that reaches out to a dark and dying world. So in closing tonight, let's put these two thoughts together. You're the salt of the earth. How's your character doing these days? Are you salty? Are you an influencer, or are you being influenced? Are you the salt of the earth? Secondly, are you the light of the world? You are the light of the world. The question is, are you doing all to the glory of God in such a way that the glory of God is being held up so that everyone can see around you? Or are you that bushel Christian? Oh, you'll hold that light up sometimes around certain people and in certain contexts. But around others, no. I want to be the one that's held up. I want to be the one. My flesh wants to be the one that's seen. May that not be true of any of us. Friends, we're going to talk next week about what it is going to be for Straight Gate Church, looking ahead into the future, into the next 35 years, so to speak. And if we're going to make a difference in this city, if we're going to make a difference in this community, it's going to come by who we are more than what we say. Oh, saying has a big part of it, don't get me wrong. We are called to proclaim the gospel. But salt is salty by nature. Light is radiating by nature. And when we are simply being who we are, salty Christians, candlestick Christians, the light of God is going to shine out from us, and it's going to be a light to all that are in the house. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful lesson. Thank you that you have shined into our hearts with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for myself. Pray for each person here. That, Lord, we would not be those people that are hiding our lights under a bushel, but that we would, with such confidence, with such faith, hold up our lights, that in every circumstance, our motivation and our intent may be to glorify you, such that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now let's take a few moments, just ask the Holy Spirit of God to show us where we are hiding our light under a bushel. Maybe, like with me, it's a personality or a persona or a character. Ask God to reveal that to you. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a specific habit. Ask the Spirit of God to reveal that to you, and then ask Him for grace in removing it, that you would shine forth as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Let's take a few moments. Father, may this body here at Straight Gate Church be boldly radiating the light that you have graciously given and provided in each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.